Well, I'm glad you could all join us here this morning, and I'm sure there's a variety of reasons why you may have come this morning. I hope it was for hearing some music that would be praising to God. Some of you maybe came for the barbecue. Maybe some of you had something to prove with a grandchild or a child that you had to beat them in a race or something. I don't know. But whatever your reason, I pray that you are filled with the praises for God and that you're encouraged as you go from here to continue to praise God, because he is more than worthy of our praise. I'm going to close with a psalm as well, from Psalm 135, verses 1 to 7. And I thought it was very fitting, especially after this recent downpour that we had, which affected many of us here. Psalm 135, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise him, O you servants of the Lord. You that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, and in earth, and in the seas, and all the deep places. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. Verse 1 begins with a threefold call to praise. Praise the Lord God. That is who we are directing our praises here this morning and should be at all times, because he is more than worthy of our praise. Without the Lord God, we would really have no reason to gather on a Sunday. We would really have, to put it bluntly, no reason to live in this world. That is the created purpose of all mankind, was to praise God. The second is we are encouraged to praise the name of the Lord, because this is a personal God. It isn't that unknown God that the Greeks worshipped in Athens. No, we know him by name, and we know him in a very personal way when we come to him through his son, Jesus. He has designed us to praise him, and he is worthy of our praise. He is a personal God, and he has made himself manifest to this world through his son, Jesus, and so we should worship him by name. Thirdly, as the Lord is worthy to be praised, he has made us fit to praise him, who were once unfit to. We are honored to be called servants of the Lord. In fact, in the New Testament, we are called sons of God when we come through Christ. Verse 2 speaks of the servants of the Lord praising the Lord. Under the old covenant, the house of the Lord was the greatest place of honor to go and praise the Lord. And of course, next to that would be the courts, the first being for the Jew and the outer court being for the Gentile. All were included to come and worship and praise the Lord. But now under this new covenant through Christ Jesus, we have a far more accessible temple. We don't have to go to Jerusalem in Israel. For the body of the redeemed saint is a temple unto the Lord, made holy by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Singing is one form of that praise to him. Prayer, reading his scripture, proclaiming his word. These are ways that these bodies, these physical bodies, can praise God here on earth. Verse 3 tells us why we should praise the Lord specifically. It says that he is good. To be good means to be moral. We throw that word around pretty flippantly in our world, because we are speaking in relative terms to one another. But on the context of God being good, he alone is good, according to Jesus in Matthew 19, verse 17, when he said that to the rich young ruler who thought himself to be quite good. God alone is morally perfect. We all sin and come short of his glory. Because God is perfect and good, morally perfect, he desires our earnest and genuine praise, for he has called it pleasant. And that's quite remarkable that our imperfect praise, as much as we practice and do the things that we ought to, none of us, myself included, are as gifted as some people with singing. And so it's imperfect. Even the greatest singers are imperfect. And yet God calls this a sweet sound to his ears. God is obviously very generous, knowing how limited we are in our finite state. Yet he wants to hear from us. He desires for us to live holy and productive lives. And so when we do so, we give glory to God. Verse 4, we read of God calling Jacob to be set apart for a specific role of the service. In fact, the Old Testament is, much of it speaks of this entire history. And he called Jacob to be the leader of a nation called Israel, which his name was changed to. Israel was called to be set apart for God, to honor his commands, to tell the world of this salvation that would be coming, and it would come in that line that a Messiah would come to redeem us from our sinful state. And God made good on his promise through Jesus. Israel was and is imperfect, far from perfect. In fact, at times in their history, they have led the world in some wickedness, and I believe that's because Satan's hand of temptation is upon them doubly as being a nation chosen by God. Yet despite their shortcomings, God considered them a peculiar treasure in this psalm, and that is true of Christians under the new covenant as well. We fall short, we know this. But Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, that we were considered a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And when it says peculiar people, it doesn't mean just odd or strange, although we do appear that way sometimes. But unbelievers can appear odd and strange as well. The word peculiar that's actually used here means to be a purchased possession, something very special. It means to be bought, valuable entity that is bought. And we have already read from 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, we were bought with a price. Jesus purchased us from sin, death, with his own blood, so that we could glorify God in this life that he has given us. The fact that God saw fit to purchase us with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus tells us how much he does care about us and how much he will value our praise to him. Verse 5 not only tells us the Lord is good, meaning morally perfect, but he is great, meaning perfect in power, meaning he has the absolute power and rule to execute justice as he sees fit. He is above all gods. Speaking of fallen angels that, or entities that, or whatever man may raise up to be a god in their life to worship. He is above it all. These false gods all tremble at the name of Jesus. Verse 6 tells us that God is in ultimate control. He is a sovereign ruler over all his creation, be it in heaven or on earth or in the sea or in the greatest depths. God is in control. God does whatsoever he pleases, and everything I know for certain that he pleases is good. It's his nature. It's his characteristic. The fact that evil and pain and destruction exist in our world, of course, is part of that sin fall of man, and we are in a fallen world. Yet God is still in control. He is so great that he can allow his creation to freely operate on their own accord, and has accounted for these decisions from the foundation of the world. He has known it all. Nothing catches him by surprise. He cannot change. And he works it all to accomplish his good pleasure despite the best efforts of Satan and those who may oppose God. One exercise of that is exemplified in our last verse of this psalm, verse 7. Where we read that he causes the vapors of the earth to ascend, what we would call evaporation today. And it happens all over the earth, forming clouds. And that water that was picked up in one part of the world drops in another. God has created it with the incredible design. And sometimes there are storms that come from this, shows of lightning, strong winds out of the storehouses of God, just like we saw on Tuesday, something that the best climatologists or weather people, well, they predicted a storm, but not quite to that scale, I don't think, for our area. To us, this can be frightening, and those storms can cause major damage and certainly loss of life even. But these storms are really very small in comparison to God, for he has accounted for every atom that is a part of them. He has created. He knows it all. And coupled with the fact that he is a personal God who loves his creation should give us the utmost confidence in the Lord God and his plan of salvation through his Son, which all warrants our praise, our undivided praise of God. And I'd like to just close with Romans 8, verses 22 to 28. Probably very familiar portion of Scripture, but tells us that God, that creation is groaning for a change, and God will bring it about as he brings within the believer. Romans 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption with the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but the hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know that not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And verse 28 gives us great comfort. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And so may we continue to give praise to God, who is more than worthy, now and always. We're going to close with prayer and grace and benediction, and then the choir will have one final song, and we'll be dismissed for the afternoon's activities. Let's bow for a word of praise. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, for you are more than worthy. Not only have you created this world good, and when it chose to leave that first estate, to depart from you, Lord, to go against your word, you had in mind a way of coming back to you. And it would be not by works, but by your work, the work of your Son on that cross. And we are eternally thankful, Lord, and give you praise this morning. And may this praise be upon our hearts each and every day, Lord. We get so distracted, so easily drawn in by the things of this world, by worries, Lord. Even this storm has caused, and they're real. They're very real worries. But you are ultimately in control, and may our trust always and ever be within you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your love, grace, and mercy, and pray for your blessing upon each one here this morning, and may you bless the activities of this afternoon, and may you be honored in our lives throughout each and every week. We give you praise and pray for your blessing upon the food and fellowship, and for all those who have prepared food and who have brought the things donated, Lord, and for this choir, and for everyone that has put time in, Lord, sacrificial time, but it's not done in vain. It's done with joy, knowing it is to your praise. And so we pray for your blessing upon the food and the afternoon, Lord, and may you be honored and glorified above all. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.